SiriusXM Sports presents... At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Back at the races, hour two on this Tuesday. John White will join us in a minute, and don't want to launch. Usually when I say that, I try to launch into something. 2 seconds later, Casey says, gives me the notice. John White. I will tell you about a little thing going on at our at Derby Trail. The guys, they've been doing something fun. They're tracking. They had a little contest as to what rider is going to produce the most winners, $20 or more. And the interesting part about it is it's been pretty well spread around here after 10 cards. So a quarter of the way in, almost everybody's got one. Eric Cancel got one with that Anthony Quartarolo and Luch runner, that Uno Mas Modelo. And, in fact, I heard from Paolucci. He was so tickled, not just to cash for $33, but he was absolutely thrilled for Anthony. And I've said before, Quartarolo, really, really sweet guy, and he came from the harness side and knows his way around a horse and has done a lot of work to make a horse like that, Uno Mas Modelo, competitive at the level. And a $33 winner. Collegeville girl, booted home by Kendrick Carmouche, who picked up the mount for Rich Vega. And, of course, we talked about her. She was a $20 winner. Jimmy Bond with Dylan Davis. $27 winner that prioritize on Sunday, and Channing Hill and Catman with Farrell, 2020, of course, on Sunday. Jose Lascano and Joe Sharp, that Cape Angel, which some people thought was a crazy winner. I Cape Angel absolutely had a potential in there. Ian Wilkes and Jose Ortiz combined for a $21 winner, that Indigo Yankee. Going back to early last week, last Monday, actually. And who else? Length, actually. Bill Mott. Mott rang up half a dozen wins this week. Really strong. 28-40 with Rosario on Sunday. And one more. Oh, Weekend Hideaway in the stake for Smilin' Phil. Phil Serpy, 23-40. So everybody, even names like Saez and Rosario and Ortiz getting some price winners. And we're going to track that. I thought that was a fun topic. The guys, what's interesting that Santana, you would think, I think Santana had won the opening couple of days, but this was just last week. When it came, you would think Santana, with all the with all the horses he's booting home, that he would have some prices, but maybe everybody's caught up a little bit. Santana may not sneak up on everybody. John White sneaked up just now on me, and he's with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
John, this was a weekend between the grade ones on Saturday and Sunday at Del Mar, and then the high-profile, in this case, Baffert two-year-olds, and then Monmouth and Saratoga folded in. This ended up being a big weekend, and there's going to be any number of later summer performances that are going to key back to what we saw over the last 4 days.
Well, that's true. I was particularly interested in the Haskell because with Justify now retired, that 3-year-old picture is rather interesting in terms of who's going to emerge during the second half of the year. And for me, a justifiless Haskell was a race that I think really most people expected Good Magic should win. And he stepped up and he got that job done. And I thought he looked very good doing it. And to me, Good Magic is a colt that I think he was kind of unlucky in that if Justify had not burst on the scene, in other words, you take Justify out of the picture, Good Magic, I feel, quite possibly would have won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness and would have headed to the Belmont where he would have had a chance to sweep the Triple Crown. He ran that well in defeat to me in the Derby and the Preakness. I mean, I came away from the Kentucky Derby so impressed with how hard Good Magic tried all the way down the stretch. And he just couldn't close that gap on Justify on the sloppy track. But I mean, Good Magic ran his heart out that day and ran well enough to win a lot of Kentucky Derbies. But, you know, if you take Justify out of the picture, he would have won it. Because I thought it was impressive for him to even hold on gamely for the place in that race over Audible, who I think is a very talented colt. And a lot of people are knocking this crop all of a sudden, saying, well, maybe this crop isn't as strong, you know, as we thought. There was all this hype for this crop going into the Kentucky Derby. Oh, this is one of the best of all time, and blah, blah, blah. Boy, people sure can turn around in a hurry. And, you know, maybe it's not as strong as we thought. It probably isn't, as a lot of people thought going into the Kentucky Derby. But on the other hand, I think we're being a little too quick for those people that are saying it's kind of a crummy crop now and that Justify really didn't beat anything. And part of that's because a lot of these really good colts are on the sidelines, like an Audible, like a McKenzie, like a Bolt de Oro, and some of these. I still think this is a quality group. And then in the Preakness, I mean, Good Magic, because he went on the attack early and turned it into a virtual match race with Justify. He runs fourth there, the only time in his career he hasn't finished first or second. But he, as Randy Moss pointed out on the NBC broadcast, he got closer to Justify in the Preakness than he did in the Kentucky Derby. And that's true. That's a good point. He only lost the Preakness by a length. He lost the Kentucky Derby by 2.5. And, you know, yes, he ran fourth and was overtaken late by Bravazo and Tenfold. But I don't think there's any question in my mind that if the race is run differently, in other words, again, you take Justify out, you wouldn't see Good Magic spend so much energy early. He wouldn't have had Justify to go on the attack with. And that was the reason Good Magic weakened it a little bit there in deep stretch, because of that match race scenario. And I think Good Magic proved that when he beat Bravazo here in the Haskell. I mean, I think he's better than Bravazo, and I think he showed that in the Haskell. So, you know, that certainly would change the perception of Good Magic if he'd won the Kentucky Derby and Preakness. Now, would he have won a justifiedless Belmont and become a Triple Crown winner? We'll never know on that. My gut feeling is he's the type of colt that probably would have found maybe a mile and a half too far, or he just wouldn't have been able to get it done like Justify. So I think Good Magic's the type of the many horses we saw win the first two legs of the Triple Crown during the last many years and then wasn't able to get the job done to sweep the Triple Crown, or maybe he would have even risen to that occasion. So, but the point is that he's a pretty darn nice colt. He was the two-year-old male champion. He made history in the Breeders' Cup, the first maiden to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And I like I say, I'm impressed. And I think, you know, by winning the Haskell, he did something his daddy couldn't even do, and that's win the Haskell, because Curlin finished third in it behind Any Given Saturday and Hardspun. So this is a serious colt, and this Travers is shaping up as a very interesting, I think, just a race to really look forward to, particularly with the addition of the filly in the race, Wonder Godot. So that's going to be the test for Good Magic to see if he can continue to prove that he's the one. I mean, I think right now has risen to the top of the class with the absence of Justify.
Beyond Good Magic, talk what impressions you came away with from Hofburg's win, and then of course Tenfold and Flame Away, and pretty interesting late run from Vino Rosso. Flame Away is going to look elsewhere, probably the Smarty Jones, according to Cassie, but you know, Vino Rosso, Hofburg, Bravazo, Tenfold, Gronkowski, Wonder Godot, Catholic Boy, King Zachary, and Good Magic. Those are the nine right now expected for Travers.
Well, I was impressed, too, with Hofburg. I think this is a serious colt, too. He was the one that a lot of people thought might be the one to spoil Justify's Triple Crown in the Belmont. And, you know, the signs have been there, much like with Justify. What we saw what Bob Baffert did with Justify, running in the Santa Anita Derby and only his third career start, running in the Kentucky Derby and only his fourth career start. Hofburg, similarly, ran in the Florida Derby and only his third career start. Unlike Justify, though, Hofburg didn't win the Florida Derby like Justify won the Santa Anita Derby, but still, for, you know, Hofburg ran a good second to Audible in that race. And then Hofburg had, you know, a bad go in the Kentucky Derby, so, and he was flying late. I mean, and he galloped out good. I had an eye on him. I said right after that race to a friend, I said, boy, this Hofburg's the one to watch out for in the Belmont, I think. And he ran, you know, okay in the Belmont. He was a little bit disappointing, actually, to finish third. He didn't have that late punch. But he still, I think, considering what Mott has asked of him to this point, there's a lot of upside with this Tappet colt. And so this Hofburg is very serious. That curling on the sloppy track, that was a very, very good first step out of the Belmont Stakes for him. So I think he's the real deal too. And I look forward to good Magic and Hofburg and the Travers, both of those. I will say this about Flame Away. I sure would like to own him. Yes, he's not exactly a win machine, but boy, he sure runs, you know, he just gives it everything he's got, you know, when he goes out there. And he did it again here in this Jim Dandy. On the other hand, when you see Tenfold, and especially that head-on, I mean, this Tenfold, he bore out, you know, ducked out once, and then really ducked out again. I mean, it was very blatant. And so it's not encouraging for Flameway. I mean, that was smart. That's smart for Cassie. Cassie's so realistic, you know, for them not to go to the Travers, especially that he's going to have the filly in there anyway. But, you know, I can understand why they're going to go another direction than the Travers with Flameway, because that's a race that he should have won when Tenfold's doing what he did. And so that's kind of the bad side of the Flameaway defeat. And Tenfold, you know, that, what do you do about that? Now, here's a son of Curlin, as is Good Magic. And Tenfold, you know, considering how lightly raced he is, I think there's a lot of upside there. And we know how much Steve Asmussen has really been high on this colt. I mean, similar to Justify and similar to Hofburg, Tenfold ran in the Arkansas Derby and only his third career start. And so, I mean, all three of those colts, Justify, Hofburg, and Tenfold, with trainers that's kind of out of the mold for them, really, to be running colts in races like the Santa Anita Derby, Florida Derby, and Arkansas Derby in only the third career starts. And Tenfold proved in the Preakness that wasn't unrealistic for Aspison to be doing that, because in the Preakness, Tenfold ran a very solid third in that race, right there behind Justify and Bravazo. Tenfold, like Hofburg, was kind of a disappointment in the Belmont, but even more so because at least Hofburg finished a solid third, and Tenfold just really was never a threat and finished a well-beaten fifth. But again, he bounces back, wins the Jim Dandy, and, you got to look at Tenfold kind of this way. He got a 93 buyer, and you go, well, that's not real high. But when you're ending up in, I don't know, what lane would you say that was? I mean, like that 16 lane or something that he ended up with, at or whatever, and still was able to win the race. So, in other words, if he runs straight, how far does Tenfold win the Jim Dandy? So, you know, I know a lot of people are kind of down on him, and I understand it when you don't run faster than he did and when he had the antics that he did. But again, he's got a Hall of Fame trainer that, it reminds me of Dwayne Lucas when he had Thunder Gulch. And when Thunder Gulch won the Remsen as a two-year-old, he lugged in so badly. I mean, horribly. And I kind of thought, well, boy, you know, he must have some kind of problem or this or that. Well, he wasn't lugging in after that. Whatever Lucas did to get him straightened out, and that's what these top trainers do. I mean, that's why they're top trainers, the Bafferts and the Motts and the Asmussens and these guys. So by all of that said, that's why I'm saying I wouldn't exactly be throwing Tenfold out the window completely in these races either. So at Vino Rosso, he's kind of a head-scratcher to me. Steve Haskin, that was his pick for the Derby, and I respect Steve so much that in and of itself makes me respect Vino Rosso to some extent. And, Vino Rosso, here's another one in the Belmont. He finishes fourth. And, again, this kind of shows to me, I mean, Justify beat all these guys going a mile and a half. And these are pretty decent colts. And Vino Rosso is the favorite of the Jim Dandy. And turning for home, I mean, I thought, wow, what a leg he's laying. Well, he was coming on strongly at the end. Or was he? I mean, was that an illusion because of the fact, again, of especially what Tenfold was doing late? So that's kind of a quandary to me on Vino Rosso, who's another Curlin colt. I mean, when I was watching it live, I thought, wow, Vino Rosso, that race could really set him up for going a mile and a quarter in the Travers the way he was coming on. But then when you kind of sink your teeth into it more and look at the final time and the buyer figures and so forth, you know, I come away a little less impressed with Vino Rosso. So he's one that, to me, it could go either way. He could run a really big race in the Travers, maybe even win it, or maybe, like I say, this Jim Dandy was a bit of an illusion under the circumstances, and maybe he won't run so well in the Travers. So he's kind of a either way for me going into the Travers.
Well, we've got the horses that are kind of waiting in the wings. Gronkowski got back on track over the weekend with he's had a couple of works that moves him toward a Travers start. You've got Catholic Boy. They haven't made a decision, but it sure feels like they're leaning that way. Everybody came up with Dale Romans Sunday on TV, and every indication is that they're going to go try the dirt again with him. So we get another read at a mile and a quarter on these horses. We also have got, I haven't discussed it yet, but they put together Saturday's West Virginia Derby card. And it came up good, and that's a nice group of horses. You know, they run for real money at West Virginia, and both the Derby and the other Grade Three, the Governors, thought those both came up good. 3-year-olds, including Rugby Man, got a lot of people watching him. Baffert sending Once on Whiskey, the Los Al Derby winner. Baffert's won, he's won himself a couple of West Virginia Derbies. High North, so you've got the top four finishers from the Iowa Derby involved in here. Peter Erton sends Draft Pick as well.
Lionite King Cause, Doug O'Neill. So strong West Virginia representation among the California horsemen. Nice West Virginia Derby.
Well, and you mentioned Gronkowski, and I will tell you that he's very interesting to me in terms of the fact that, I'll be honest, going into the Belmont, I didn't think much of this colt, really. I mean, yes, he'd put together the four-race winning streak over there in England once they switched him from the turf to the synthetic, and he reeled off the four straight wins. But, you know, I just wasn't that impressed at what he was doing over there in England. And, boy, I thought his Belmont was just huge. I mean, really, I mean, he had this tardy start and was 14 lengths off the pace. And here again, I mean, he couldn't be justified, but well, he only got beat a length and three quarters. Now, the bad news for Gronkowski is that's going to be it for mile and a half races for him for the rest of the year. In other words, he won't get to go that far again in the United States. But on the other hand, I mean, he runs a 99 buyer in defeat in the Belmont, and that was his first race on dirt. I mean, that's something to consider again. I mean, he'd never even raced on the dirt. And so I think he's extremely dangerous in the Travers, particularly when he's got Chad Brown training him, and Chad's got good magic. So, I mean, here's a situation to where there's so many other options that with when Chad's already got the colt that probably will be the Travers favorite and is the reigning two-year-old male champion in good magic, and yet Chad had what he termed this minor setback with Gronkowski, but it was, sure was illuminating that after this most recent workout at Belmont that Chad told David Granning that he's on schedule to run in the Belmont. He was very pleased about this workout in company with Timeline, and so I mean, this Gronkowski, the fact that Chad here yesterday on Saratoga Live was telling Maggie Wolfendale, I mean, you know, she mentioned good magic, and so Chad, you know, said that good magic came out of the Travers well, and he's looking at the Travers, but he always throws Gronkowski in there too. And so I mean, the fact that he's doing that and saying that. By the way, I wanted to say how much I'm enjoying Saratoga Live, Belmont Live and Saratoga Live, both of those programs. I think the job that they do on that is just outstanding. I mean, I think it's an outstanding announcing team. I think they cover the sport extremely well. They cover the live racing very well. I mean, Andy, of course, we were familiar with Andy from your show all these years and his work on the simulcast signal. But, I mean, he's surrounded by just a very good group there. And I just don't think racing coverage in this country really is any better. I think you can hold that up right with the NBC coverage. And, honestly, I prefer watching Saratoga Live to any of the broadcasting and horse racing we see in this country today. I think they just do an absolute fabulous job, and I wanted to have a chance to say that. I think they just hit all the right notes in terms of balancing the coverage of the live racing, but also keeping you informed in what's going on in the sport. What they do is kind of similar, I feel, to what we used to do at San Anita on a show we used to call the Fox 2 Show that I was on with Kurt Hoover. And we had an hour broadcast every racing day at San Anita, and we would cover two races live, and then we would have features or, you know, and interviews and so forth. And that was a very popular show. The plug got pulled on that show because of TVG and came in and what they took over and this and that. And so that went by the boards because we got knocked off of Fox 2, and that's why we called it the Fox 2 Show. So. But Gronkowski, to me, the fact that he had this minor setback, that's another reason that Chad Brown could very easily say, you know, we'll go for the Pennsylvania Derby or something like that. I mean, you know, and that may still turn out to be the case because Chad has said, you know, I mean, it's pretty clear that Gronkowski can't have another setback of any sort. I mean, he's got to go perfect from here to the Travers. But if this Gronkowski runs in the Travers, Boy, I think you have to really look at him as an extremely serious possibility to win the race based on that performance in the Belmont and based on the fact that Chad's even running him there when he's already got good magic.
Well, the three-year-old picture will continue to evolve, whether it's regional derbies or the next big stop, the Travers. And, John, a couple of quick hits on the two-year-olds at Del Mar. I've really, in earnest, started to track and keep tabs on everybody. And, you know, in addition to the big names on the dirt, there's also a few turf runners that are, beginning to show up. And one horse from the weekend that was overshadowed by Roadster, that's Summering for Proctor and Glen Hill. Craig Burnick, Warfront, Drayden Van Dyke wins at even, at even money. And it looked pretty good.
2-1.
2-1, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, what a very impressive win there. And, of course, I always smile when Tom Proctor wins. Like Dale Romans, who you had on yesterday, he's one of my favorite guests that you have on when you do get Mr. Proctor on. I go back with him. I used to play basketball with Tom Proctor on Tuesdays here near Santa Anita, along with Tom's brother, Hap. Hap was a very good basketball player. But Glen Hill Farm, those famous silks, when you see that, and Drayden Van Dyke, this guy has really emerged as what a rider. And Drayden has been trusted in with these two-year-olds for both Hollendorfer and Baffert. Riding, so many of these top two-year-olds that we've seen, Instagrand, who so far to me, he's kind of been a little bit forgotten because he got his maiden diploma in late June at Los Alamitos, but man, that was a breathtaking 10-length win by him, and he's headed for the best pal at Del Mar, so you got to really look at him. But then, as you mentioned, Roadster, Bob Baffert, had been talking him up, and people that have been watching the workouts, which we get a lot of that here in Southern California. We've been the pioneer in these private clockers that we have here, including Andy Harrington and Gary Young and Roadster. Was no secret, odds-on favorite, but he balked to go into the gate and kind of had a problem. His bit came out of his mouth, and they had to adjust his bridle and so forth, and he had the inside post to deal with, and he broke fairly well. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't great. He didn't pop to the front. It wasn't the best of starts either from that rail, but he got into contention. He didn't seem to like dirt in his face too much, so Mike Smith got him to the outside. That move he made on the far turn was very impressive, I thought, and then the way he won the race with authority and galloped out. So, Bob Baffert has talked up Roadster so high that, he is a quality individual and he's a quality road. And then these fillies, I think it's really interesting. Mother with Baffert, Brill from Hollendorfer, and Chasing Yesterday from Baffert. Those three is just fascinating to me. Not only were all three impressive with their career debuts, but how similar their buyer speed figures were. Mother got an 87, Brill got an 88, and Chasing Yesterday an 86. So, if those three were to run next in the debutante, it's almost like, boy, how do you separate those? It's a razor-thin edge between the three of them, at least in terms of their buyers. Virtually identical, 86, 87, 88 for the three of them. And all three highly regarded, all three well-bred, all three, from Hall of Fame trainers in terms of Baffert and Hollendorfer. So as you pointed out, we've been very strong with what the two-year-olds we've seen so far here in Southern California. Hollendorfer also with Rowayton and Into Mischief colt, who was very impressive. But again, look at Van Dyke. Of all those I've been mentioning, Van Dyke was aboard Instagram. He was aboard Summering. He was aboard Rowayton. He was aboard Mother, and he was aboard Bro. So, I mean, it's sort of like he's the guy you got to go chat with and say, you know, if you could get him to commit, which I think he's learned enough in this game in his shoes, you become a politician and just, you know, don't really be too forthcoming in terms of if you say, who's the best of this bunch? And you, but it would be interesting to know what he would think about all these since he's been the common denominator on so many of them.
In addition to, again, the high-profile ones that people have been seeing, there was a Philly that should be noted because it's a storyline that is worth tracking. Peter Miller, and we owe Peter a call, actually, too, this week. He had that winner in the maiden 80,000. This came, I'm going to say, Thursday's right. And I don't have the chart and PPs at hand. But Bougie Girl won by 3-4 lengths. This is Flashback's third winner. And 9 runners have debuted from Flashback so far. And they're hitting the ground running. I mean, obviously, among the first crop, we're keeping an eye on Golden Sense, who's broke well and is piling up stats. We talked about, well, certainly coming out of sales, we talked Cairo Prince, Shaking It Up has been a bit of a surprise. We'll Take Charge, etc. But I'm keeping close tabs on Flashback, and it feels like his horses are win-earlies, and that got an 80-plus buyer as well, that maiden 80.
Well, I really am not surprised to see this from Flashback, and as you say, it's very noteworthy because and it's noteworthy if you're a horse player because, you know, with the success we've seen from these Flashbacks, you really want to give extra credit when you're looking at his offspring when they make their debut. There's just no doubt about it. Flashback himself was a very impressive debut winner here in Southern California for Baffert. He was an even money favorite at Hollywood and won with Leparoo aboard. And, you know, he was very highly thought of, and early in his career, I mean, he looked like maybe one of these really top Baffert runners. It didn't really pan out as they kind of thought might be the case early in his career. That he was good enough to finish, you know, he had speed, but he was good enough to finish second to Golden Sense in the Santa Anita Derby. So, I mean, that tells you something right there, that he had that speed and that the precocity to win at first asking sprinting, but he also was able to finish second. And Golden Sense, considering what he would go on to do in his career, it certainly was no disgrace to finish, you know, a little more than a length behind him in the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby at a mile and an eighth. So, but the thing about Flashback, why I'm not surprised, too, that he's been so successful already, he had the looks. I mean, this was a grand-looking gray colt. I mean, just he really seduced your eye looking at him. I mean, beautifully conformed. And he had wonderful action, too. I mean, he had a wonderful way of going. So, I mean, there's a lot to like, and he's a tappet. I mean, so he had the pedigree, he had the way of moving, and the confirmation, and he had the speed to win sprinting and enough class and stamina to finish second in the Santa Anita Derby. So, I mean, the makings are there for him to be a good stud, and beyond the fact that the Flashbacks are winning at first asking, I think he's also capable Flashback and throwing, you know, horses that'll do more than just winning early and sprinting.
Sure.
I mean, I think he could be a very good sire. I wouldn't hesitate to breed to him at all.
Well, he's a bargain, and a couple of the other names you mentioned, when you mentioned Sons of Tappet, that he's had enough runners. They're doing very well. It's amazing what Tappet has done, and there, you know, there's some obscurities out in the hinterlands too, you know, that are going to be making the grade in the countryside breeding programs. We also, speaking of regional programs here in New York, Central Banker off to a tremendous start. He's got three winners from his first seven runners, and that was anticipated. We talked to Joe McMahon quite a bit when he landed Central Banker, and it's got to be with some of the bad luck that Joe's had, including the tragic passing of FNX. Certainly nice that Central Banker making an early splash. John, keep it rolling, and we'll talk next week as the big meets both coasts. Keep us busy.
Very good, Steve. And by the way, you were saying how well Flashback's doing as a debut sire. One of the all-time great debut sires was Seeking the Gold, and a gelding by the name of Sippin' Fire won the big race in the Pacific Northwest Sunday, the Muckleshoot Derby, which turned out to be a great stretch battle with Weekend Wizard, a horse that was making his United States debut after running in Canada. And Sippin' Fire, with Rocco Bowen aboard, battled down that lane, got the victory by three-quarters of a length, and he's a Washington-bred son of Harbor the Gold, who's a son of Seeking the Gold. So that's the big three-year-old race of the year in the Pacific Northwest, and it was the third straight win for Sippin' Fire. And so, as you say, kind of keeping an eye on that region, since my heart lies up there in that Pacific Northwest. So but a lot of good racing, and certainly looking forward to that Travers. That looks like it's going to be a tremendous race.
Well, Whitney draw today, later here in Saratoga, and then the rest of the card, and a very good Saturday card, including the test.
Do you think Diversify's going to run?
I'm waiting to hear from Rick Violette, and I asked him myself just minutes ago,
I think not only he should run, I think he'd win. I think that last race, if he runs anything like that last race, I think he'll
win. John, I appreciate it. Talk soon.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
John White, everybody. Post Time John on Twitter. Let's take a break. Wayne Catalano, Catman, bring him in next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness, and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses. We build racehorses.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Destination unknown.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, coming up on 15 to the top of the hour, and catching up with Wayne Catalano. I saw him yesterday as he was heading out, and he said, "Why didn't you call me yesterday?" I said, "Well, I thought maybe you'd win the Coronation Cup, and we would talk both the Shuvie win and the Coronation Cup at one time." So that didn't work out, but that's all right, because Wayne heads back to the Midwest for a little bit. As he sends Farrell to the Shuvie win. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Steve. How are you?
Excellent, Wayne. And it's always fun when you come to town or when we see you in Florida or anywhere else you turn up. And this was a win for Farrell that you could tell how much it meant to you and to the whole team. She seems like a real favorite, and you even have got bigger aspirations.
Yes, it's a very special win. The win at Saratoga is special anyway, much less to win a stake there. And having the family, you know, Jen Hill and the son-in-law Rod and the wife in town and the birthday and celebration and to get her to go over a million mark, it was a very special time. You know, Mr. Bob, Miss Annette, are wonderful people. They're from this area here, so, you know, it's nice to win here. It's hard to do, but it's nice when you do it.
Well, talking the coffee pot team, and when you look at her record and knowing her running style, you're always a little bit, Wayne, at the mercy of other pace players. You know, talk about going into this.
Well, going into the race, you know, they had a little bit of speed. Obviously not her speed, but you never know how the race is going to unfold. Sometimes you look at a race, ain't much speed, and all of a sudden everybody's going. But in her case, I guess they know, you know, looking on the farm, she's got speed, and, you know, for the hole up going a mile and eight, sometimes it's just a tad far. But when the one horse scratched, the speed horse and the rail scratch, I thought we looked pretty good. And then when Channing got her to go in 24-48, I thought we had a pretty good chance. You know, from there, I'm happy with everything. So it's, as we're getting going and running and getting to the eighth pole, we're hoping from there is where I'm supposed to get rolling. The rest of it was great. And she ran a big race. She rode a great race, and everything turned out. It was a big win.
You talked about the mile in the eighth, and she, you know, she just got, you know, a little late when it came to Churchill in that Fleur de Lis, and Nacho Correa's nice mare ran her down in that spot. You always, again, have to see where the pressure's coming from. The word comes that you'll consider the personal ensign, and it people might say, well, if she was, you know, kind of life and death at a mile and an eighth, isn't a mile and a quarter that much tougher? But the reality is, and you can explain this as a jockey from, you know, from your days on the irons, when those distances get longer, the internal fractions slow down, and a horse like her can go further if they're going to, you know, go at a fairly pedestrian pace early.
Well, obviously, you know, in any case with any horse, if they get a good slow up pace and everything works out for them, that'll carry them a little further. But when you get to them grade one races, they don't get easy, as everybody knows. But we're going to look at the race. I'm going to talk it over with Mr. Bob and Mr. Annette and Coffee Pot Stables. We'll get it together, and I'll talk to Steve Levy, and we'll look everything over, and we'll make a plan, just like we did when we scratched the other day to come here.
That's right.
You know,
that's
so
right.
We'll just see how it unfolds.
Watching the race live, how
you know, how much did you notice on the pan that she was getting out and kind of, you know, drifting to the outside? Were you worried that they would look at it and there was a chance that, you know, that she could come down?
Well, the last couple of days with some inquiries going on, you know, I knew right away that she was drifting a little bit. And Channing had to drift just a little bit down the lane. She always wants to drift a little bit, but in this case, just Sunday. It was a good drift because if the horse is getting good, clear run at you, it might have been a different outcome. So, you know, sometimes a little bit of race riding and a little bit of luck goes a long ways. Sometimes the jockeys got to help you, you know.
No doubt.
I think we did all right there. And,
you know, yeah,
it,
you
it
did.
It was legit, though. It was not looking like they were going to go by her anyway. So everything worked out. But I'm always, you know, especially in the last few days with all the inquiries and everything going on, you know, you still, you know, you want to see the official sign. That's all I was looking for. I knew
exactly.
I got there first, but I wanted to see that official sign to make it official.
Well, and you know, nobody that was, you know, out there to her right, nobody claimed foul either. So that, you know, that contributes.
Yeah, that was a beautiful thing. You know, I just felt that, you know, it was there, you know, we won it. And when you get the number up first, it's kind of hard to take them down. You know, you can't be changing numbers around. It's hard to get there first. And when you get there first, you better have a real good reason to take them on, change numbers around.
What makes me laugh, because you and Wesley Ward and any number of trainers that had, you know, real careers as jocks, no jockey can come back with a phony excuse, right? Yeah. Let alone your son-in-law.
My wife would tell me sometime we up there in the grandstand, we're watching a race, and after the race, you can go down and talk to your jockey. He said, no, I made all them excuses up there anyway. I know what happened. I saw the race. I'll talk to him later. I got him in the next race. We'll see what he says.
I love it.
I know what they are. I was telling when I was around November, yeah, I was couldn't get enough excuses coming back. You knew you was in trouble when you came back on him. He had that look on his face. I don't hate to get a little red and, uh-oh. There's that look. I don't know what they're going to tell him now. Just take your little chewing and go. Yes, sir.
Right? The best is when they try to say, well, this is what happened, and you wave your hand, you're full of it. I know what happened.
Yeah. Well, good thing when you rode early fires, he'd come back and tell you like it is. He didn't make too many stories up, brother.
I love it.
Yeah, it's good.
You know, I don't ask you enough about your riding career, and you know the guys that you rode with, and you know the aftermath. I mean, who were your favorites? Who were the guys that you palled around with the most?
Well, I didn't do too much palling around back then. It was like, you know, just going on with the game, you know. We didn't do too much here. But I was with Tim Jessup and a couple of guys from Detroit. We'd hang around John Rupert and Jessup and just a couple of those guys there early on in the career when I was in Michigan.
Now, and JVB probably keeping a close eye on you, right? He didn't want you out running around.
Yeah, no, well, in the old days, I was just worried about being a leading jockey and winning all the races and doing all this stuff. It's kind of hard to do that when you're getting on 7, 8, 9 in the morning and riding 7, 8, 9 in the afternoon. So then I got married early, so Renee wouldn't let me do none of that either. we took care of that.
Well, we were kidding. I was kidding you yesterday. We wouldn't have necessarily years ago seen you doing any jockey karaoke, maybe some dancing, but not karaoke.
Yeah, we were there last night dancing around. Yeah, they got us all over Twitter and Facebook. Back in the old days when I was at Garden State, I was with Ole Miss Tony Black. I mean, we had some stories and times back then. That was a long time ago.
you're one of his absolute favorites.
Yeah, we've had some fun. I was with him, but that was way before marriage and all that. That was a long time ago. I can't believe he's still trying to ride. He couldn't see way back when I was riding with him 40 years ago. Good thing they painted the rail white. He just followed the rail around most of the time.
I guarantee you he's either listening or he'll hear it later on the archive and he'll have a rebuttal.
We piled around there back then though. That was so long ago. Almost forgot about it. That's how long ago that was.
Well, he loves you. He on People Listening Thursday, he will gush about you.
He was a race rider. I don't know about it anymore. I ain't seen him ride in a long time. I don't know. But, I would like to bet he'd be a little tough to beat when he ate Bull home.
Exactly, right? On the engine.
Better not try to go inside him.
That's for sure.
Don't try to go inside him. Them guys listen outside that if you got Tony Black in front of you, don't be going inside of him. And if you go around him, you better make sure you got some room to go.
No doubt. He's going to love this.
He's one of the old boys. He don't do that anymore nowadays.
Well, you bring up, it's funny, you bring this up inadvertently. And I discuss it with him. I discuss it with Migliori. And the change, the old time to now, and how much different that is. There isn't that same, I don't know, I want to say aggression, but doesn't it feel to you, Wayne, that either they're more polite maybe with each other than they used to be?
Well, I think they might be more family oriental than it was back then. It's a little different game back in the old days. It was a little bit more race riding and going on and, the art of race riding than there is nowadays. I mean, there's very good jockeys and, they're riding a lot of different horses and big money and all that. The game has changed. No question about it. No question about it. You couldn't go off the rail and win three derbies like Farrell did, I can tell you that. That ain't gonna happen. And you couldn't go off the rail like Corey Landry does every day, up the rail and every single race, every day winning all the races. You know he's going to be up the rail. I don't get it. I don't get it. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened back when we was riding. You wouldn't go in them spots screaming and howling but once. And the next time you'd be on your head. They drop you and put you on your head like that. It don't work like that.
Exactly.
And if you went to go around them, you better know what you was doing because it'd be a little, maybe get you drifted a little bit. They put you in the spot.
Well, we are still seeing that, Wayne, that when it comes to the herding and guys, Castellano is tough as nails on that. DeSormo, famous for it, basically spreading out off the turn and pushing horses out three paths. And they never, nobody ever gets called. Smith does it.
Well, I don't know, but I'd have to see the race. If that's what they're doing or what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. You drift, but that's because the other guys let you drift them. You don't let a horse drift. You hold your spot, and then what happens? They got to run into you. And if they run into you, they get your number taken down. See, this is what I'm telling you. It's an auto race around. You can't let a horse just drift you. If he's drifting you, that means that you kind of going out with them instead of holding your ground right there, and then they got to run into you to drift you like that. So you can't do it. There's a big difference. If you're going straight down the lane there and you try to hold your steady and they come out, what's going to happen? They're going to run into you.
Yep.
So you can't do it. That's just the way it goes. But that's what 47 years of this game will do for you.
Exactly.
It's just the way it works.
Well, that's what's made you successful, too. How many times are we going to see you this summer? How many horses do you expect to run?
I've been here for like a week already. I've been here a whole week. I spent my birthday, me and my wife coming down for my birthday. Last Tuesday, a week ago today, actually. And we've been here the whole week, and we partied, and You know, you're eating and you're wine, you're dining, you're drinking, you're partying, and getting all pitchy took is like a beautiful weekend, beautiful birthday. Couldn't have got a better birthday than this.
No. No, and you had Channing with you, and it's fun for him too. You know,
he loves it because he was here. You know, he rode here.
Yes,
there are a lot of winners around here. Everybody knows him, so he felt like a homecoming. You know, and the win
very
was
much.
Very special.
Well, and he,
we
talked. I got a great picture of Channing with Rich Migliori at Oaklawn, and before I did one of the shows from Oaklawn leading up to Arkansas Derby.
Uh-huh.
The three of us, I sat and listened to the two of them, and Channing Hill can ride anywhere.
Oh, thank you. He is a good little jockey. I thought he, he's a good little rider. He likes to ride good horses like the rest of them jockeys. I mean, you want one of those, he's pretty good at it. He knows.
Well, he gets along nice with this mare.
I can't get on him too much because I got to hear from my wife and my daughter, so I just kind of stay chill. I got two grandsons, so I'm all in.
That's for sure. No turning back. Well,
I was trying to tell him yesterday. I was giving him instructions leaving the paddock. I said, warm her up good, break, and if one horse does this, just sit in and do this, and then do that, it'll clear him, whatever. And he starts smiling. I said, what are you laughing for? Why are you smiling? He's giving me a shit-eating grin. I said, I can write a book on this stuff. He said, you just did. I told him, I can write a book on this shit. You just did. I said, well, you know, I'm doing like, we're walking all the way out giving you instructions. Okay. That was funny. I had to tell that story on him.
Well, that yesterday, in fact, you took a shot. You took a shot with that filly, second career start, and why not? What else is out there?
You know, with Justin Zayat, he said, there's not too many 5.5 furlong 3-year-old fillies. Well, we run her in this race. And I was already coming up here with a couple of horses, so I just threw her in the truck and said, okay, you want to take a shot? We'll take a shot. Columbus did. Look what happened. Lucas took a shot all his life, and he's in the Hall of Fame. What the hell?
Exactly. Too funny. Wade, give us a look ahead. I saw you ran second with Gwendolyn Sue at Arlington on Saturday.
Yeah, for like the fifth time.
Yep.
Yeah. She was second 5 times, I think, now. But go ahead. Look ahead.
So
what else?
Soul of the Hero, coming up on Thursday.
Well, you know what? The jury's out on that little horse. You know, he's a very, very nice little horse. How much talent I got, I don't know yet. And the lady who owns him is a very, very nice lady. We just kind of like hoping we can get him to run well for her. We don't know. But the one race I'm going to throw out on the grass, it was no good. And then the other day, I don't know what happened. He got hurt leaving the gate the other day, so I don't know. He's doing very well, so he's the jury's out on that one.
He runs Thursday at Arlington,
uh-huh.
And you got a bunch in, actually. Also, some nice allowance tries coming up on Friday. Give us another 2-year-old you got some hopes for this fall.
You know what? We got a 2-year-old that's run, went by a head the other day. He ran a very, very nice race. His name is Manny Wah. And then we got a 2-year-old that we ran here that thinks going to be very nice. She got a first start the other day at Saratoga. They come off the grass. But her name is Leora. We like
right.
her. We think she's going to be special. I think she's going to be special. We like those. And we got a couple of other ones. We just got a couple of new ones that just came in that's ready. That, they're very nice, very expensive horse. So we're looking forward to those. We got 3 or 4 of them we're looking forward to.
Well,
so if
we always
pan out, you'll see us in a stakes winning circle again.
I have every expectation. And if you say that Leora, if you think she's special, she finished 4th the other day. That was on, I think, Thursday or Friday, and we'll keep an eye on her.
Very nice filly. She just figured it out about the quarter pole. She was running. She was two jumps. She was five in front of the field. So I really like her. We like her. We're looking to win our fourth Breeders' Cup, so we better get going here. Better get these babies going. We got a couple of live horses, and if they pan out, we'll be back in the winter.
You're a perennial. We're not worried about you making your way to the lead or to the winner's circle. Wayno, tremendous.
Right,
I appreciate it.
Stevie, it's always a pleasure. Hope to hear from you soon. I mean, we're a winner. You don't call just to say hello.
I want to make it special.
I see your hellos in person, but the phone calls that I like to get from you.
Exactly. thanks,
nice
Ray.
One, Steve.
We'll
Bye.
See
That's
you soon.
Bye.
I love it. Oh my God, he is just a treasure and beloved at every racetrack he goes to. There's somebody that the fans call to, run up to, and just so much fun. And I went ahead and took advantage there with his knowledge. 47 years. And you know, for those of you that never heard the conversation with Jack Van Berg that we had, kind of a meandering conversation that hit on many of the Van Berg graduates, the University of JVB, and what he did for Wayne Catalano. He had Michael, he had his brother, and they say that Wayne was headed for Juvie Hall. he was headed for reform school when Jack Van Berg got him and molded him into an exercise rider, then an afternoon jock, and Wayno took it from there. Wayne Catalano. Amazing. Let's take a break. We're going to talk to another jock turned trainer, but this is a little different. Arch Kingsley. And Arch, with a huge win yesterday, the Smithwick, and a guy that is equally gleeful when it comes particularly to success like this. Grade one victory yesterday, show court. Arch Kingsley will tell you what went into it and where they go from here. I think that he's a 9-year-old, if I remember. I'll get the chart. Arch Kingsley Jr. next, plus Dick Powell and more. Hour three, Dark Day Tuesday. It's dark here. That doesn't mean there's no racing. There's plenty of racing around the country, and we'll give you some options later on, including Presque Isle when we talk to Dick, but the Flakes as well. I saw where that, you know, there was a little strangles scare at Finger Lakes, but the quarantine is over. They got the all clear yesterday there in Farmingdale. Farmingdale. Farmington. Back after a timeout, hour three at the races starts with Arch Kingsley.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. DAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Cole Ranch has the facility and the expert personnel to get your yearlings started correctly right here in California. Hi, this is Steve Cole. We have a variety of round pens, a huge outdoor arena, as well as a meticulously maintained 5/8 mile training track with rails and a 4-horse starting gate. Your horse will be given the utmost in care and attention. We employ only patience and kindness and scrupulously avoid cowboy training methods that rely on fear and deprivation. We also have numerous irrigated turnouts when your horse needs a break from the rigors of training. So give me a call at 805-990-3669 or visit our website. At Cole Ranch, we don't break racehorses. We build racehorses.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.